This is a Gutter production.
Gutter is brat.
Did you guys see when NATO...
NATO said they were brat?
Yeah, NATO was like, we are brat.
I should say, for freaking giving all those Nazis jobs, it's awfully bratty of you, NATO.
Whoa, got him.
That's something I learned from Chapo Trap House. I am not smart.
I learned it from a book.
All right.
That I heard about from a podcast.
Thank you. Let's all keep the intellectualism to strictly pseudo, please. No books. What book was it?
I think it was...
Don't pretend like you know about books now.
No. I think it was books. The Devil's Chess.
Oh, actually, I need to read that
Alan
one.
Dulles one.
I heard that one was baller.
What if I was like, I think it was One Fish, Two Fish? Are you my mother?
Okay, so here we are. Feel it. Are we ready?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Cold night air is whistling through the doorframe of the Treble Estate, blowing in the clean, smoky smell of forest air, blowing this smell in through a stench of violent and burning hell that emanates from within this rent and gutted mansion. The lights outside the estate glitter off of broken glass, which is spread all across the earth and shines like snowflakes in light. The wind howls, mingling with groans and limping, thudding footsteps coming from outside the mansion. We see right now, moving up to the door, sneaking up to the door frame, Scratch, Violet, and Bodie. They all sort of sneak up to the doorframe, Sam Fisher style, AAA stealth game style, up to the door. Boom. Wind blows through that doorframe. Bodhi just sort of peeks his head out slightly. That big, muscular neck cranes out. Bodhi, here's what you see. You see at least a dozen shadowy figures limping out of the forest. They're all wearing party masks. Some very fancy, some very cheap. But it identifies them as party goers. They're all moving like wounded animals. They're limping down the street in your direction. But specifically, they're limping towards two very strangely heavily armed figures who appear to have arrived from the direction of the ferry on foot. These two figures are standing beside Booger, and they are stacked head to toe in black tactical gear, both holding automatic rifles. There's one figure who has like a horned helmet, and he's like speaking into his wrist like he's making a radio call or something. The other man has like these heavily spiked shoulders and sort of like these little tiny spikes coming out of all of his armor. And his green turtleneck is pulled up just under his eyes, and you can see him looking intently at the partygoers coming on. Bodhi, looking at these two heavily armored figures, you know, these guys are bad news. This is
bad news.
Really bad news.
I know.
Elite,
I know.
Elite heavy hitters. Top of the food chain. These are expert head cracking SEAL Team 666 style mercenaries. There's no doubt if they saw you guys, they'd know that you wouldn't belong and that it's game over. These guys see you, it's very bad.
Mm-hmm.
But you can tell right now that whatever they're seeing right now, very unexpected from them, and they're off their game, maybe for only a couple of seconds, maybe just a millisecond. And that's about all the time you have to react to this right now. So, right now, in this doorframe, feeling the wind from outside, blowing past your stubbled... You've got a big beard. Blowing through your thick beard, feeling that cold wind...
Does Bodhi have a big beard?
I thought he did. I thought you said he had a big...
I thought he had stubble.
I think he has stubble. He had a beard earlier. Now he has stubble.
I like stubble more. Okay. You're standing in the doorframe, looking out, wind blowing through your stubble. You feel that chill run down your spine.
The stubble is getting
so hot.
Moved around like grass in a field, short grass in a field. Not to detract from how terrifying this moment is, Bodhi is going into bullet time as he stands in this doorframe. Considering how familiar this feels to him because of the events that happened 10 years ago, very similarly, leaving a building, finding masked figures, being with two people who died on his watch, he grabs his black book that he has pulled out of the swirling vortex in the house, and he wordlessly reaches back without breaking his view of these two mercenary goons, these two mercenary Uruk-hai orcs, these scary berserk characters, and he passes the black book behind him to either Violet or Scratch.
Scratch has his backpack there, so he grabs it and just puts it in.
And Bodhi takes off. Bodhi was once known for how quickly he could run 40 yards. In fact, if you go on YouTube and search Bodhi Chambers 40-yard dash, you can find a very old video of him running it in 4.45 seconds, which is, I think, very fast. I would have to Google what is a good 40 time, but I think that is a good 40 time. He is barreling as fast and as quickly as he can, hand reaching towards the axe that is in his pant belt loop, pulling it out at the same time, running like Mel Gibson in that one movie.
Braveheart.
Not Braveheart. The one with...
Dragged under concrete.
The Patriot.
The Patriot.
The Patriot.
And that is where the Mel Gibson comparisons stop. He is not like Mel Gibson in any other way other than Mel Gibson once also ran with a hatchet in his hand. He's running quickly. All of the silence and all of the stealth training that he's had living in the forest over the last 10 years, hunting big game, hunting dudes like this who strayed into his territory with ill intentions in their heart. He picks up speed, hurtling like a comet, hatchet in hand, and before you can blink, he's on the dude on the right who's standing by Booger.
Very fashionable, by the way. Really fashionable guys.
These two guys?
Yeah, I love their outfit descriptions. They sound like they should be walking down the couture runway.
I can't wait to loot them when we're done.
It's a little chic. Let's do a D100 roll.
Casey, can you pass me the power ring? Wait, this is not a D100. This is...
We have to do it twice.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I assumed there was 100 things on here. Hold on. 5?
50?
54.
54, okay.
That's a normal hit.
That's a normal hit. Okay. Roll for damage on that.
8 damage.
8 damage. Okay, fantastic. Okay, so that same shot, looking at that doorway, Bodhi hands back the book, and then it's almost just like a blink of an eye. He's just gone, running through darkness. The guy with spikes all over him turns, and then right in the neck shoulder, the axe comes down. Blood starts spraying out. The guy goes, he grunts. Bodhi's got the axe down just like that. The other guy's turning his head now. Violet?
Violet? The moment that Bodhi had run out of the house, Violet put her hand out over Scratch's chest so as to stop him. Like when the car is crashing and you're gonna save somebody, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it was that. And like we sat there quietly watching. Violet saw this happen and now immediately draws her gun out of her leg holster and points it at the other guy.
Describe that gun real quick.
That gun is a Desert Eagle. It's big handgun. It's so big and it's very cool.
She's big silver heavy, pulls it out.
The
gleams
size
in the
of her
moonlight.
Forearm.
Huge two-handed. You popping that thing?
Ooh, I'm...
Yeah, I'm popping that thing. Oh, no. Uh-oh. No, I rolled a 96.
Bodhi is blasted in the back of the head from the distance.
Oh no, Violet again, it's happening.
No.
Wait, has the listener heard that yet?
Yes.
Yes, actually, they have.
If they are on our Patreon.
Yeah, if you're on our Patreon.
It's happening again.
Okay, yeah, I guess there's no way around that. So you fire that thing off, the ricochet, it hits a little harder than, I mean, you've shot this thing a million times, but for whatever reason, the tension, boom, bullet goes wide. The dude at the horned helmet turns around and looks in your direction. Scratch! You're hearing gunshots. Sweat is pouring down your brow. Are you taking any action right now?
That was very kind of Violet, very generous of Violet to put her hand out in front of my chest as if there was anything I could or would do in that situation. It certainly made me feel respected. But Scratch hasn't even had time to process this. And at this point in time, there is nothing I can do. And frankly, I think I'm too shocked to even really say anything other than take things in. So, Ganon, can I perhaps hold my turn?
I think you're just, it's not the end of the world if you're just chilling on this for a second. I think we can keep trucking.
Okay.
And that inaction is going to lead to the total party kill. If only you had thrown those caltrips that you added to your inventory at character creation.
I should be buffing, doing my support buffs right now. God damn it.
Bodhi, the guy who you just hit in the neck, blood spraying out, he's dropped his gun and it's just sort of hanging on a sling around his shoulder. He reaches to his side and he pulls out like a machete and he swings it at your gut.
Oh my gosh.
Are you going to dodge or counterattack?
Ooh, can you explain my options?
Okay, so dodge is if you fail, you get hit. If you succeed, you miss it. For counterattack, if you succeed, he misses and you attack. But if you fail, I think you get like double damage or something.
Oh, that sounds really bad. I'm fighting two guys at once in close quarters. I know Violet has my back with the Desert Eagle and is firing wildly. No shade. No shade. It's just what happened already. But I'm going to try and dodge it.
Okay.
Bodhi has got good reflexes. And if this were a football field, he might try countering in the way that he once did a long time ago when a defensive player was trying to get past him to get to a quarterback. What am I rolling here? A D100?
Yeah.
Yo, nice. I got a 12.
Okay.
Ganon.
You beat him. So, dude takes out this huge machete, swings it at you. You, like, dip your tummy out of the way while still holding on to the axe that's hanging out of this guy's neck.
I think maybe I let go of the axe.
You let go of the axe, and he swings it and falls back, boom, lands on his back. The other guy is lifting up his AR-style rifle, and he's about to fire at you. Now, your options are a little bit more limited in here. You can either take the shot that he's going to fire at you, that which would be a crazy-ass thing to do, or you can, like, you have to, like, hit the floor to dodge a gunshot, which means you can't dodge anymore, but because it's only one more guy. Do you want to dodge this guy, I guess? Just dodge this guy, because it's going to be basically a dodge, but don't worry about it. It's just boring-ass rule.
Like I should not
dodge.
An assault rifle blast at close range, so yeah, let's go for another dodge. After
I don't know,
I gotta shoot this guy in the head.
Ganon wants it too much. I think you gotta take the shot.
Dodge.
Well, no, it is. It is a hit. So why don't you?
What?
No, I mean, he has a chance to dodge right now.
Okay.
Wish I didn't roll really well last time. I feel like statistically, I'm going to roll worse now. That's how stats work.
No,
right?
You have the mandate of heaven,
bro.
Do you have the mandate of heaven?
Last time I rolled a 12. Eleni, what is this?
13.
Whoa! And the dude rolled a 70, which is 5 under his. So whatever. Who gives a fuck? You dodge that. So. Dodge out of the way of this machete. The other dude falls back. Dude fires a burst at you.
Bodhi's a big, mountainous man, somewhat triangle shape, and he has now contorted into an ellipses to avoid the machete blast.
Yeah.
And then melted into the ground somehow. You don't even know how this big man is so flexible. Clearly, he does yoga or something.
Boom. He sort of like slides into the ground from the doorframe. You guys looking out just see him. Just a spray of machine gun fire. You guys both wince. Dirt and smoke rises, and then Bodhi is back up, coming at this last guy.
Yeah, contorting himself and falling on the ground, he now quickly rolls back up into a crouching position from which he lunges from the line of scrimmage directly into this man's sternum with his head and hands up in some sort of, like, a move that would only make sense in a 2D
fighting game
yeah. that you would have to like certainly press down, back, over, A and B at the same time. You would need a special rig to do this control, or just play Call of Cthulhu and say that it happened. Bodhi launches himself up like a freaking SpaceX missile, and he, like a SpaceX missile, explodes into this man. Get fucked, Elon. All right. I have to roll for that, though.
Yeah.
So, can I use my special dice? That
yes,
have been
we like these now.
Working so well for me.
All right, here comes.
38, which my brawl. That's one away from a hot hit.
Great.
Use your luck.
I'll spend one luck.
Boom. I'm afraid I just got a hot hit. But you got a hot hit. But it goes to the defense.
Fair.
No.
This actually might be a golden hit. It's a 7. I think. I mean, I don't have the numbers.
These guys are really proficient mercs, right?
So you do this spinning punch attack. The guy drops, this dude who has like these oni horns like rising out of his head. He drops the gun to his side and like very gracefully parries it with his hands. And now you guys are like squared off martial arts style in front of each other, like two masters in a dangerous game. And he pulls his hand up and he does the Matrix.
Get over here.
I'm going to beat your ass.
Oh, no.
And that's when Violet shoots him in the head.
All right. So Violet from the door again with the Desert Eagle. I'm not going to go. I'm going to take this fucker out this time with my huge honking piece of big, heavy silver machinery glimmering in the moonlight. So beautiful. So powerful. So elegant. So fearsome. So delightful. So, what's the roll?
So, I rolled a 79, but my hit would be 72. So, I am going to spend 7 luck so that I hit him.
Boom! Okay.
That's a fair exchange. Oh my god, did he defend?
If this man, like, catches the bullet with his, like, teeth or something and then throws the bullet back at Violet. I don't know. These guys are strong as hell.
Okay, so you fire, huge crack of the gun, bullet flies out. You can see it hit him, but he just sort of moves back a little bit. It was squarely in the armor. He is not downed by this.
He's going to be feeling that tomorrow, though, after he's firmly dispatched of all of us.
Or I should say, actually, to be a little bit more accurate, bullet comes out. It doesn't hit him because he dodges it. He hits the ground. He like has to like jump out of the way to miss the bullet. Boom. Bullet hits the ground, but he's on the ground now. So, Scratch, is there any type or style of move you would like to make? I know you are currently limited.
Maybe I'll do another mythos roll. Here's what I should have done last time. I should have done anything so that I could fail it, so that I get a level up point.
There you go.
So I'm going to take 2 turns.
There we go.
Here.
I'll give you a 1.5. How's that?
Okay.
Do you know how to use a crossbow?
I mean, give it, if you have an extra weapon.
So after a second failed gunshot, Violet aggressively rips the crossbow off of her back. Yes, she's been holding a crossbow and shoves it in Scratch's chest. Like, shoot this.
And let's say since Ganon, you jokingly gave me 1.5 turns. We'll say that the half turn is actually figuring out how to fucking load this thing.
Yeah.
Just to make it logical, it would make sense that it would take a turn and a half if you've never fired this crossbow before.
Boom, it's in your hands. You're doing a kind of goofy Looney Tunes style. I think you're going to need to get a 10 or less.
Can we say that if Scratch gets a 100, then he hits Bodhi?
Yes. Absolutely.
I couldn't use my firearms rifle shotgun for this.
Rifle fires a bit differently.
Wait, why is the default 10 and not the same default as
What's the other defaults? I believe for exotic weapons it's lower, but what's the other default? Okay. What, 25?
20 for a handgun, 25 for a firearm. That's with no points in them.
Let's do 20. We'll do 20 because of the rifle. Look how sweet I am. Am I not a sweetie pie?
That's a sweetie GM right there.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Mm. And you know what? Here's the thing. We might not even need that. I got a 13.
Bitch.
Bitch.
That bitch just did a crossbow.
That bitch.
Here's the thing. I've played a lot of VR games.
Yeah.
I've loaded a lot of fake crossbows and aimed a lot of fake crossbows before. And a regular crossbow doesn't really have that kickback like a gun. So it's conceivable that I would at least know how to, in theory, aim this thing and fire it.
You aim it, you see the guy on the in the middle of the street just dodge the bullet. You go, ah! Thing flies out. Completely just hits him right in the side. Goes in deep, like all the way to the feathers at the end. And the dude just, like, he was moving and then he's just like, he's like sort of thrashing and then... And then still, you have just shot a fucking dude dressed up like a scary demon guy.
Scratch drops the crossbow and puts his hands up like,
Violet takes this moment to, she does the whistle like, good job, like, and then double high fives. Double high fives.
Bodhi is too busy grabbing this man and shaking him while he says, who do you work for? What is this place? As this guy is dying, so he does not do his victory animation, which is so cool. It is such a cool victory animation. He would normally be taking out an apple and taking a bite out of it while, like, smiling and nodding his head to the battle music. But he doesn't do that. Who do you work for?
Dude is gone.
Don't you fucking die on me.
It's like that he's wearing a helmet that looks like a skull, like a golden skull, and it has these two white horns sticking out of him. But he's just, like, limp,
Bodhi
heavy.
Scans to see if there's any other threats while removing the helmet off this guy.
Just the other guy you hit with the axe who's sort of wiggling around, but you can see he's, like, passing out.
No. Bodhi takes his helmet, punts it into the woods just out of, like, frustration and goes to this other guy. And he goes, how many more of you are there?
He's not speaking.
Fuck this. Bodhi punches him in the face.
Guy's knocked out.
Guys, let's get in the goddamn car. We gotta go.
Let's go.
How close are, like, all those, the, because they've been encroaching, but
yeah,
they've been moving slowly, sort of,
like, wandering closer. They're, I don't know, they're maybe like 20 feet away from.
Can Bodhi just quickly pick up the assault rifle and start firing at them?
Yeah, sure, if you want.
There's a couple that are, like, really close and just.
Yeah, Bodhi doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
He knows what happened the last time he was in a similar situation. He's got two squishy targets that got lucky and managed to William Tell a dude from however far with a crossbow and a... Vi did hit that guy, too. So, like, these guys aren't completely helpless, but he knows what those masked dudes can do when they get their hands on you. So he has this assault rifle.
Oh, that's funny. He's comparing them to the masked dudes he saw previously. That's funny. Mm-hmm. I like that. Yeah.
It's so funny. I'm laughing. As he's mowing down this group of people with masks on from a distance.
Boom, boom. A couple of them plop over. Boom, 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 boom. Everyone else is, like, rushing to the car.
Yeah, Violet
right now
has grabbed Scratch by the shoulder, you know, of the,
like,
shirt,
yeah,
and
him.
Is, yeah, pulling him.
Like. And Scratch is, like, looking at the dude on the ground, like, following him as he runs, like, with his eyes. Did I kill that guy?
You did great. You did great. Let's go.
Boom. You're in the car. Bodhi, are you? You still have the gun on you?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, yeah, fantastic.
Gun.
Violet says, seatbelts on.
Click, click, click.
So everyone's in the car. Boom. Adrenaline high.
Violet, Scratch, I have to tell you something.
Okay.
Violet, when you got that box, on the cover of it was a bloody owl. And I had seen that bloody owl before, 10 years ago. And I lost so much that day. So I had to see if that box would bring me to some place where I could find answers. And I don't think I found answers, but I definitely found something. And I am so glad that the three of us have all made it out of here. I know we're not out of the fire yet, but whatever is in that book is something that I have been searching for a long time.
I didn't mention this, but when I had the headset on before it even showed me the dot that we followed, there was, like, an animation of a black book that, like, flew up and opened. So somehow this is all connected, that the headset itself wanted us to find that book.
What the fuck?
I don't know, man.
Okay, so what? You guys are in on something? Like,
I'm not in on any of this shit. I've been spending the last 10 years out here trying to find fucking answers and trying to find one of the people I lost on the day when I encountered the bloody screaming owl. And what we found in that house, that swirling
mass of whatever the fuck that was is so similar to what was in that barn all those years ago. And I think we have to open that book and see what the fuck is in there.
Yeah, this is like supernatural shit.
Okay, I'm sorry. Like, what are the odds that somehow I get assigned to do a job to do a package that somehow has to do with you and has to do with you? And I'm like, you guys should get out of my car. This is fucked up. This is fucked.
Violet, it's not odds. And he taps the big binder, the archive. There's something bigger going on here. Again, I think we were supposed to find each other. I think we were supposed to find this headset. I think we were supposed to find this book. I don't know why, but I have proof here. Yeah, I mean, you may not take it as proof, but it's not so fucking crazy if you consider everything else that we saw, because that wasn't just like an explosion in there. That house wasn't blown out like a war zone. That there was something flying in the sky. The people that Bodhi shot down that were crawling towards us, it's not an accident. There is fucked up stuff beyond our understanding happening here.
Ogre.
Wait.
Yeah, Bodhi's lifting up the rifle. One of the figures who Bodhi shot, who's crawling out of the forest, is a guy with Groucho Marx glasses and like a sailor's hat.
Mm-hmm.
He's lying on the ground and he's just going,
Wait, Bodhi, wait. I've heard that before. I've been called that before.
He's holding something up like there's something in his hand or something.
There are not so many. I mean, assuming Bodhi shot any that were close to us, we have to check this guy out real quick. And I open the door.
Do not fucking touch that guy. These guys in masks are bad news. I've seen these masks before. And Bodhi's like, this mask is much goofier than the masks that he saw almost a decade ago.
Like, they got cheap.
But the bloody owl, the swirl inside the house, those scary dudes, enough here that Bodhi is seeing a dangerous mask and not a quirked up mask as described by G. Reedy.
Bodhi, I'm sorry, I have to know. And I run over to the guy.
Running over to this guy. Cold air rushing past you. You get up close to this guy. His, like, legs are totally gone. He's just on his stomach. His face is looking, I don't know, it's dark, so you can't really make it out, especially, I mean, he's wearing the glasses, too, which slightly obscure him with a big Groucho Marx mustache. As you get closer, it's like he was using all of his strength to say that, Augur, and you get closer to him, and he's got his hands clasped around something.
I put my hand out below his.
He opens it up and, like, keys and two key fobs fall in your hand.
And then does he collapse?
Yeah. He goes, Ogre. And he just places his head on the ground, just looking at his face. You can kind of see it better. It's like the skin on his face is almost like it's coming undone, like falling off like a heavy leather jacket on a light clothes hanger, like whatever that explosion was. This isn't just like a fire or fragmentation. It's like almost like radioactive or like chemical or something very strange, the effect on these guys. But yeah, you've got keys in your hand now.
At this point, now that I have them, I like take a second to reflect on the fact that this guy was saying that and just gave me these. And then I get justifiably very fucking scared that I'm out of the car again. And I rush back into the car and close the door.
You rush back into the car, close the door, buckle up. Everyone's looking at you.
He gave me these.
Bodhi takes a big sniff.
Violet grabs the keys and is looking at them, turns them over in their hand, and is like, what the fuck? What even is this? And what's even in this book? Give me the book.
Okay.
Scratch gives her the book.
Immediately.
Yeah.
And she opens it.
You open it up. Most of the page, you're flipping through it, most of the pages are blank, but the first page is several addresses. Some in Washington, one in Canada, one in Oregon, a couple in California. It's just like a bunch of addresses written down.
and then looking at the keys, does anything match? I mean, like, no. This is a quick glance. No, nothing matches. Nope. Okay. Violet just throws these things back into the back seat.
Bodhi catches them.
Nice catch.
Even dang. Violet's like, I got it.
Gotta hand it
gotta
to
hand
you.
It to-
That was good. I can't even casually toss this stuff away. And then starts the car and is like ready to peel out of here.
All right. As you start the car, you hear a sound you haven't heard in a sec. Sound of cars. A bunch of cars.
Sorry, Bodhi was making those car sounds in the back. I do that when I get nervous.
You can hear in the distance, in the direction of the ferry where you came from, is like a bunch of cars coming in this direction. Bigger cars is what it sounds like.
Maybe we see little bits of really bright white lights of like fast, modern, big vehicles.
Exactly, like cutting through the forest in that direction, sort of like lights. That you can see up ahead. You can turn around and go directly into these guys, or you can follow the path up ahead.
Okay. Violet once again says seatbelts because Scratch had got back in the car.
It's on. Yep.
It's on. All right. She opens up like the glove compartment and it starts rustling around really quick, pulling things out. There's just stuff like piling out of there. And she presses a button and the hood of the car opens up. And these Gatling guns raise up out of the car. She turns her brights on.
Scratch goes, no way!
Damn, Vi, I never knew you had those under the hood.
Let's get the fuck out of here. And then goes down the path, not towards the cars.
Bodhi was not wearing his seatbelt, by the way, and he flies out the front window and crashes in against a tree trunk. No, he is not wearing his seatbelt, but he does open his window and he looks out back with his assault rifle.
Yeah.
Just in case they get close enough,
yeah.
He can do a 6 p.m. fire.
Yeah. I mean, you guys all got this gut feeling, but Bodhi, you're like, yeah, where there's two of these heavy hitter mercs.
There's always more.
There's always fucking more. And you know fucking killing these guys is... I mean, you kill a merc. Like, when they're this good, it's like killing a cop. They're gonna be gunning for you.
Yeah, the Brotherhood of Mercs, you don't want to cross them. Hello, and is this a Christmas interlude?
Ho, ho, ho.
Is it technically a Christmas interlude? I guess it's kind of a Christmas interlude.
Ho, ho, ho. Welcome to Santa's interlude.
It's Santa Lenny. Oh, this is crazy because Lenny isn't here, and also Gannon's not here. It's just me, Mike, and Santa Lenny.
Yes, oh, I love it here. This is where I live in this interlude. Gannon is up there. He was flying a kite and he's taken off, and now he's kind of floating in space.
Oh, I can see. Did that get him on your naughty list?
Yes, Eleni tried to grab him by the ankle and is also floating up in the outer realms.
He's going to be fine, but Santa Lenny, how are you doing? Don't you have a couple big days coming up?
Yeah.
Oh, I can do that stuff and crap in 1 second. Don't worry about me.
Is that because of all the unpaid labor that you employ?
Damn, holding Santa Lenny's feet in the fire. Way to go, Casey.
Well, what you don't know is that those are actually extensions of my being and that my soul inhabits every single elf who does all the things.
So are we talking to the elves right now? Does it go both ways?
Yeah, that's right.
Wow, that is kind of cool and sci-fi. I guess it's sci-fact because this is real and not... Yes. Not fiction.
Mm-hmm. I know what you all want for Christmas.
Yes, what
and
do we want?
Every Saint holiday. Lenny? You want people to join the Patreon for Gutter.
Oh, yes, Santa Lenny. It's what I want most of all in the entire world. I want more people to listen to our exclusive Guttercore prequel episodes and Santa, maybe even our Gutter Talkback episodes that we record after the episode.
I want that too, Santa Lenny. I really want that because these last Guttercore prequels have been so funny. I know because I edited them myself, so I spent many hours laughing. It's so hard to edit when you're laughing. I will say that. So maybe tone it down in the next couple ones, guys.
You all are so funny.
So, Delaney, did you listen to the Violet Part 2?
I laughed so hard that I was cold in my pants.
People keep telling us what bodily functions they lost control over from listening to that episode.
Leave a comment. What bodily function did you lose control over?
Santa Lenny, are you saying that you poop coal?
Oh, this is actually, I'm sorry, I didn't even catch that. Yeah, Santa Lenny, hold on.
We don't have time for this. Move on to the next thing.
Okay, I'll be wondering.
Don't talk about my coaling my pants.
Maybe that's why they call it a coal-in.
Okay.
You gotta give him some credit for that one, Santa Lenny.
It's jokes like that you'll find on our Patreon in high quantities. Please listen to those because they really support us financially.
Yes.
But separately, I am refreshing that shit constantly to see Patreon comments and Patreon likes. Both of those mean so much to me. Specifically me, Mike Migdahl. I love to look at that shit and see the notifications and see the comments and see the positive comments. No negative comments.
We've got a notification right now on the computer that says the computer's dying.
and listener, this is not a lie. Truly, I got a notification because I thought that we could finish this.
We gotta go fast.
Okay, we gotta go through the rest of this.
We're taking a one episode break after this episode for the holidays.
But like we said, there's already 4 Guttercore episodes and a Gutter Talk episode for every main feed episode that's been out. There's so much on that Patreon. Check it out. And hey, once you're done with that, if you're a new listener to Gutter and you still can't get enough, we have a whole nother show called Neo Scum that we did for like 8 years. Go look up Neo Scum. Neo Scum's a ton of fun. It's how we
Neo
cut
Scum
our teeth.
Neo Scum good.
Neo Scum good. That's
even
right.
Even Santa Lenny knows. There's like 100+ episodes of Neo Scum. It's so good. Check that out if you want more. And if you want
less, turn this off right now.
That's right.
Just kidding. Don't turn this off. You're stuck here. I love the interlude.
Even if you don't like it, keep it playing.
Keep it playing. Listen to all the ads. Just put it on
every
mute.
Every possible ad, if there is one.
That could play.
Well, let me just put in this cassette tape right now.
Maybe.
Maybe it worked. Maybe it didn't. But what I do know is that you, the listener, have got to get back to the rest of this episode because there are some honestly pretty cool and scary things that are about to happen. So,
and I'm going to get in my sleigh and I'm going to go grab Ganon and Eleni down from the sky.
Was Eleni in the sky too?
Holding on to Ganon's ankles.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah.
I missed that.
I'm off.
All right. Well,
bye,
I'm going to press play now. This episode of Gutter is sponsored by Hero Forge.
Violet, Otter, it's me, Scratch. If you're listening to this tape, then it means my dark prophecy was correct. I got sucked into cyberspace after insulting an Etsy witch on an internet forum. But look, I've been digging through the pages of my archive, and I think I found just the way out. Think about it. The place where you make ideas come to life. Hero Forge. Hero Forge offers fully customized tabletop miniatures with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from, all within your browser. With a variety of materials, including bronze, color standees, and color plastic options, Hero Forge also offers downloadable model files for users to 3D print their unique designs at home. Meaning, you could design me, Scratch Kelly, on HeroForge.com, I could possess the digital model from here in cyberspace, then you could print me into existence itself. In theory. But that's not all. HeroForge also has custom printed dice where they'll stick your favorite mini, in this case me, floating inside a die. Or you could even put that mini, me, in this case, on a keychain. Hero Forge custom acrylic keychains are printed at the same scale as the rest of Hero Forge minis and arrive already attached to a high-quality zinc alloy lobster clasp, so you can take your favorite character, in this case me, wherever you go. And if you can't quite capture my likeness, it's okay. Hero Forge is constantly expanding its catalog of customization options, adding new parts every week, so check back in and see what you missed. Listen, Violet, Otter, or anyone who finds this tape, visit heroforge.com to start designing your custom miniature and dice today. It may just be the only way to set me free. And if it doesn't, well, at least you got a scratch mini to keep you company.
Hello, my name is Sam Dunnewald, and I'm here to tell you about Dice Exploder, a podcast where each week me and a rotating co-host take one tabletop RPG mechanic, just one mechanic, and break it down as deep as we possibly can. If you love thinking about role-playing games and how they work, this is the show for you. Come listen to me talk to Alex Roberts about love and pity, John Harper about elegance and layout, and Mikey Ham about, what else? Exploding dice! It's an interview show, a review show, a design show, and most of all, a show for anyone who loves these games. Come on down and join us. Find Dice Exploder at DiceExploder.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
You guys are blasting by houses, and now it's you're driving down a wooded path where it's just like trees on either side. It's a pretty thin road, and it's just silence as like you. I mean, I guess in the distance, the car is in the distance, and you're following this path. Eventually, the trees break, and you can see up ahead. There's some lights around, just pointing out into the ocean. There's like a bay. It's a dock. It's like a small dock setup, and you can see. There's a bunch of yachts in this area, docked here. I mean, logic dictates big, fancy, rich guy party. Some of these guys probably came in on their yacht.
Yeah, they're not taking the ferry.
Yeah, they're not taking... Yeah, they can just go over and style themselves. But the road does end here.
Oh, fuck. Fuck. Anybody know how to drive a boat?
I have...
Okay.
I can...
It's gonna be me.
I can paddle a dinghy. Are there any dinghies nearby? I'm looking for dinghies.
I mean, I grew up on the Maumee River, so I've definitely boat drank. I've seen it operated.
Maumee
River?
The Maumee River, yeah. Oh, you guys gotta check out the Maumee River. It's so big and brown.
Oh, whoa. Sounds...
Is there a daddy river?
Bodie just made a joke.
That's
but
good.
Don't get the wrong idea. He's not comfortable. He's not having a good day.
So, you guys, it looks like we either try to operate a boat or we turn back around and go back the way we came.
What about Booger? Are we going to leave Booger here?
Maybe there's a GTA-style ramp and we could just ride onto one of the boats.
I'm looking. Is there a GTA-style ramp on any of these boats?
You do see a boat. It's like got a bunch of like palm trees on the side, and it's called the USS Friday. USS Friday. It's like a modest-sized yacht. Speedboat type thing. It's not huge, but it does have, it's like right up on, it has like this like 1950s greaser style, like full on fucking car, like sitting in like the back. It's like there's a back trunk area that carries a car, and it's this 1950s car that's got like, it's very Cali surfer, Hawaii vibes, paint job. And then there's like the cabin of the actual like boat itself. But yeah, it's right there.
Okay. Hey, that. Let's get that car out.
The keys.
You look at the keys and, yeah, you notice they do have a very Hawaii, and there's a key fob that says TGI Friday.
It doesn't matter. I pressed that lock button multiple times on both of them.
Yeah, it goes. Whoop, whoop.
Yes.
Bodie had already jumped onto the boat and was trying to like use HMO5 strength to move it off the boat and to find the Mew that was underneath.
Wait, Bodie, I got this. So I get in the old car, turn it on.
Vroom, vroom. Welcome to the old Buffett.
What the fuck?
The Buffett Buffet. It's Jimmy Buffett all day, every day.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Sirius XM, it's the Buffett Buffet. Or the Buffet Buffet. My name is Thomas Brackenmeyer, and I'm here to take you on here's one of the hits. Sounds a little like a Hozak song, or a little bit like a totally public domain song. But it's
inspired by Jimmy Buffett.
Inspired by Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, good luck.
Okay, yeah, so you're in the car. You're in this two-seater, and it's a fire. Nice. This guy was working on this thing.
Oh, God, and my car got fucking firebombed. I would love to take this, but there's only room for one car, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I got a fucking... I reversed this car out the whole time. I'm like, oh, I would love to steal this car. And I pull off to the side so Booger can pull in.
And it does.
Okay, Booger, you squeeze. It's a little wider than the other car, and you're definitely heavier. You squeeze onto this boat. And the boat is like sort of like... Like it's feeling the weight of Booger, but... Here you guys are. You're both on the boat.
Oh my God, Scratch.
All three of you guys are on this boat.
Well, I'm not on the boat yet because I'm still in the car and I realize that my fingerprints are on the steering wheel. If I can't have this car, nobody can. I have to drive it into the water. and so I turn on the Jimmy Buffett loud or whatever is playing right now. And I go, oh, okay.
Wait, Scratch.
Huh?
Check the glove compartment.
I check the glove compartment.
There's a pistol in there.
Yes! Ah, I take it. Oh, okay.
Wait. Check the trunk.
Oh, I run around and I check the trunk.
There's a golf bag, a bag of...
Leave it.
No, come on. Yeah, I used to like to hit the links.
I just take... I wrap it, you know, I can carry it on my shoulder or whatever, you know?
It's a pearl-handled pistol. Yeah, like a pearl-handled revolver.
Pearl-handled? This is nice. Holy shit. I shoot myself in the head.
You're dead.
No,
and his new character is Bodhi.
What? I put the car in drive. I don't like, I'm not doing some cool thing where I roll out. I just put the car in drive towards a slope into the water and get out, you know, with the door open.
Yeah. And it just sort of like creaks into the water and it goes like a little bit in. It goes like halfway in.
Just enough for the speakers to be obscured partly by water and sound real muffled, the music.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. Boom. You're out.
All right. Now I'm on the boat.
Okay. Right. Now you're on the boat. You guys are climbing into the cabin of the boat.
Bodhi's taking one last sweep of the woods where we know there are this motorcade of cars with ill intents, and he's trained this auto rifle.
You're pointing that direction. You can see lights sort of like flashing through the trees. They are definitely at the house right now, and without a doubt, they're seeing these two dead bodies. And look, these are probably, I don't know, your thoughts are racing. You also know that, look, if these guys are top of the line dudes, that AR is going to have a tracking device on it or something.
Which he remembers as he is on this boat right now.
Yeah.
And he looks at this assault rifle, looks at Scratch and Violet without explaining what he's doing. And he, like a Olympian from ancient times, takes this assault rifle and hurls it like a javelin as far as he can back into the woods where they came from.
Give me a strength roll.
Ooh, I love to do a strength roll. Now, this would be a funny one to botch.
Yeah, it goes 1 foot.
66.
All right, that's a pass. So it's a pass for a really strong fucking guy. So it goes, whistles through the air like a javelin, and you can see it go into the forest.
Scratch interprets this as a renouncement of violence. And as someone else who just possibly killed a person for the first time, Scratch looks at the pearl-handled pistol and then like looks at Bodhi and then starts to throw it.
Bodhi grabs his hand. Says, no, that one's fine. I think that one's fine. I think there might have been a tracking device in that gun.
Oh, okay.
And we don't think there's a tracking device in this boat. Who the fuck cares? Let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys go into the cabin of the boat, and it's like, it's straight up Margaritaville themed. Like, all the chairs are fake bamboo. It's got We love lights on a ceiling, don't we, folks? We love... So there's, like, Christmas lights on the ceiling. Like, the sky is painted. And there's, like, a big mouth Billy Bass that has got a little captain's hat that's, like, sitting, like in a place of honor, like, above the steering wheel for the boat. Like, a couple of spots to sit. There's also, like, some fireworks up on the wall. Or up, lining up against the wall.
Scratch raises an eyebrow at the fireworks. This man, I mean, he's an Ohioan, okay? He's a firework fiend. Mm-hmm. In fact... He may or may not have a whole score of contraband in that trailer of his. Thank God that didn't light on fire, or it'd be a real shit show.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it did light on fire, please.
You did want it to light on fire?
No, I'm sorry. Sorry, please don't. thank you for clarifying. I won't get in any ideas.
Unless it did light on fire, please let it light on fire.
And real quick, to add in the cabin, there's, of course, the lights. There's, like, you know, streamers and... There's a full-on fucking frozen marg machine that's, like, turning right now.
Okay, I low-key love this fucking boat. Let's go.
All right, who's driving the boat?
That's going to be me, 100%, okay. Right?
Yeah. Or Bodhi, even though his name sounds like Bodhi, is not equipped to drive a boat, and he's also still incredibly paranoid about the pursuers. So he's staying on the deck with his handgun out and his axe at the ready, just in case anyone comes. And he shouts, "You guys, I have friends in Black Fork, which has a harbor. I don't know, Vi, if you can get us there."
There's a little less. I think it makes sense for a rich guy to have a navigation system.
I think it makes sense for me to be able to figure out how to use this navigation system. She looks at Scratch.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've drank on some boats and...
All right. So, yes. Where are we going?
To the scrapyard at Black Fork.
To the scrapyard at Black Fork.
Okay, try and do a hot hit on a vehicle roll. And I'm not, this isn't gonna like fuck the boat up or anything. It's about how fast you can figure out how to move it out of the harbor. Let's do a hot hit for vehicle.
For drive auto?
For drive, yes, thank you.
I will say I mean, it's expired, but I do have a boating license. And my family did at one point have a boat that we would take on the Maumee River. And other than like the shit you have to do to turn on the boat, which on a fancy, nice boat might be a lot easier. It's actually really easy.
It's not that, yeah. Exactly. It's extremely. You're going to be able to pilot the boat. It's
but
not
hold on, hold on.
Eleni is having a huge reaction.
I rolled a 5.
Oh!
Oh, fuck it
golden
all,
hit.
Baby.
Yeah. Not only do you know how to, not only is this not hard to drive, but now anytime you try and pilot a boat, it's just going to be a vehicle roll because
woohoo!
Of that roll. Boom! It's just like, yeah, I mean, yeah, come on. Anyone's driven a speedboat.
I love a boat.
You press the button, the fob blinks, it speeds up. You are now driving away from Shaw Island. A little slow, you can definitely feel the weight of Booger in the back. Water splashing up behind you, and you guys are tearing into the inky darkness as you're seeing sort of like lights turn the corner and...
Oh.
But you're making good distance now. Boom, 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 boom. Into the darkness. The only lights are the lights immediately in front of you and the lights in the cabin. You are just surrounded by water, feeling the weight of this vehicle right now.
Holy shit, you guys.
Welcome to the boat.
Jesus fucking Christ.
And it's the Billy Mouth Bass sort of like turns his head.
Welcome to the boat. Welcome to this adventure.
Can we turn that guy off?
Yeah.
And if you wouldn't mind... Could you please take me off of this wall and destroy me?
What the hell?
I like that. I think I'm starting to like this guy. we could leave him on the wall.
But if you wouldn't mind taking me off of the wall and destroying me, just if there's like a hammer or something, you can just smash it.
And it's this Billy Mouth Bass like, talking.
Just destroy me.
This is a really funny script this thing is loaded with.
This is crazy. That's
I don't know if that's a script.
What
hey, what's his name again? Did he say his name?
I didn't say my name.
What's your name?
It's Jimmy Buffett. It's nice to meet you.
Huh?
Your name is Jimmy Buffett, like the singer?
Well, one of the same.
What?
I think it's maybe like some kind of AI program that thinks it's Jimmy Buffett.
It's saying it's programmed to...
I would probably have the same reaction. No, Tom, I don't know if you met him. He owns this boat, and after I died, he put my soul into this.
What?
Little fish.
What?
How many fingers am I holding up?
3.
What the fuck?
How many fingers am I holding up?
Well, that's the amount of fingers I'd be holding up if they... stopped serving me drinks after 3 a.m.
Two middle fingers.
Two middle fingers is the amount.
This is a callback to last episode.
Yeah.
Guys, I think this is really Jimmy Buffett's soul in that.
I mean, come on. This is really Jimmy Buffett's soul in a fish.
Do you really want us to smash you into pieces?
If you wouldn't mind, he's been making me sing my famous songs in here for a while, and I'm plumb tuckered out. I don't think I could bear it anymore.
I think we might have killed Tom, was it?
Oh, well.
Does that bring you comfort?
I mean, he was a friend, I suppose, though I did not quite appreciate not being allowed to pass on into the other world.
The water splashing on the sides of the boat, you're still heading on out.
Are you, like, able to commune with him now that he's dead, or what?
I have no idea what lies for me in the beyond. All I know is that I'm tired. I've had enough life. I've had enough drinks, and I'm ready to see my loved ones, if they're even out there. Who knows what's in the great beyond after all?
Mm.
How about this, Hey, Jimmy Buffett, play a song. Any song. Spice Girls.
Do you know anything by...
That's just a Hozak song.
Do you know anything by Puffy... let's see, I'm trying to think of a band. Do you know anything by... Literally can't think of a single Hozak record song off the top
Fungi
of my head.
Fungi Girls?
Gabby, do you know... Fungi Girls is a particular band I do enjoy.
You're gonna play a Fungi Girls song
all
right now?
All right, I'll do my best. I mean, I ain't got much of a singing voice now inside of this bass, but yeah, I'll sing it.
He's playing a song.
Guys, here's the thing. While he's playing that song, I think there's a possibility that this is not Jimmy Buffett's ghost inhabiting a fish, and that Jimmy Buffett's consciousness was copied, duplicated onto this fish, and we simply cannot kill him until we find out. He has to join the party.
I'm not in favor of killing this thing. I think it probably has seen stuff that might be helpful, and...
It knows things, for sure.
We saw gargoyle flying around. We saw the swirl. This is... all so fucking weird that I don't think we can afford to, you know, get rid of our assets like this fish right here.
I'm not going to come across this strange technology thing and then immediately destroy it to never be used again, unless we find out that it's tracking us, in which case, yes, we might. And also, unfortunately, I'm sorry to bring it back to this, but I was supposed to deliver a package, and let's be reminded that that has not happened.
Oh, yeah.
And so... I'm pretty sure that I am now a
fired.
Double target. If fired is to put it lightly, I mean, they will flay my skin. I don't know what they'll do.
I'm not
going
to let anything happen to you, Violet. I think I made that pretty clear when I shot all those guys.
What the fuck was
what
that?
What the fuck is that?
Bodhi runs back to the back of the deck.
You look out. And you can see, you can see the lights of the island out there. It's a huge whale. It almost, like, caused reverberations along the water.
What this,
you look out, and you see above the forest line these black wings rising higher and higher, lit under the full moonlight.
Does it look like it is flying in our direction?
Yes. Or it's, like, rising high, and then it starts to fly in your direction.
All right, cut the Fungi Girls. Cut the Fungi Girls.
Oop. You got it. Now, if there's a hammer or something, just feel free to destroy me because I want to no longer exist.
Don't destroy. Don't destroy that fish.
We'll talk about it later. I think there's a possibility that we can make you regain your appreciation for life rather than killing you. But that's a topic for episode 4, okay? Episode 3 is about the fucking... The thing we saw. The flying thing we saw coming at us.
Bodhi is climbing on top of the roof of Booger with his handgun... in his hand. It's not as fancy a gun as the one that Violet has, but it's still a fucking .45 revolver. Mm-hmm. And he is trying to line up a shot, and fuck it. He starts shooting at this thing.
All right, great.
Bodhi rolled an 80, so this is just not a good shot.
Yeah.
And we can say that he is firing a couple times, but it's not going well. And he's out of bullets now.
And the thing swoops, and it swoops like you lose it in the darkness for a moment. Violet, Scratch.
Violet is now putting the boat into full speed ahead. We just got to be piloting this boat right now. There's no time to stop and smell the roses or get flapped by these wings.
The creature on black wings dives, and you can only sort of catch glimpses of it. It seems to be, like,
bolting out of the sky in your direction.
Brace yourself! I've got my hatchet in one hand, and I'm, like, just looking around like I'm getting ready to throw the hatchet or do something crazy.
I can't see that thing!
Scratch notes that the fireworks in this boat, a lot of these are, like, high illumination fireworks. It's a whole mortar set that you just set and light, and it shoots a whole bunch in the sky. I think this might work. I take it, and I go a little bit further towards the middle of the boat.
Whoa, buddy!
And I set it up. Does anybody have a lighter or matches or something?
Oh, yeah. She reaches into her pocket and tosses Scratch a lighter.
He catches.
He has a real hard time lighting it because of all the wind, but eventually he catches the wick and guards the wick until it's too close to the box for comfort, and he steps back to get out of the way.
Just, it fires off a bunch, and then big red, big white, big blue, and you can see this thing in the flashes cruising basically like right along the water, and it's coming closer and closer, and looking at it, it's like the wings are leather, gray, brown. The body is like, it's almost, I mean, you only see it in flashes, but it's like vascular, wrinkled, and the face is like, the eyes are almost hollow, but there's something in there, and it's coming closer and closer and closer and closer. It rises up, and you can see its eyes, like big, red, wet, tragic eyes of pain. This thing is like, for a moment, like right above the yacht right now. It's like 10 feet tall. This thing is huge.
Oh my God. Mm. In this moment, Bodhi has one opportunity to react. Okay. Once it gets close enough, he's still standing on the top of Booger with his axe in hand.
Yeah.
And he pumps his legs and then explodes up. I'm going to try and leap up into this thing and see if I can, like, grab on and hit it with my hatchet.
How high is this?
Let's say it's dunk distance for a man of Bodhi's stature.
Okay.
Not for a typical person, but for an athlete such as Bodhi.
We're going to see if we can dunk this thing. And with the backdrop of the fireworks, Bodhi can see this thing clearly, and it is disgusting. And it feels like he's been searching for this for some sort of answer to the things that he's seen, and some sort of answer for why his life has been such a wild disappointment.
Everyone's looking back now, and it's like all three of you guys are seeing these red eyes separately, and it's like they grab your soul, and right now Bodhi is leaping through the air towards this thing. Fireworks. Lighting up this visage, this mouth open, these yellow teeth, this massive creature, this mummified husk.
Okay, this is actually pretty interesting. So I rolled a 54. My jump is a 70, but to get a good hit, that's 35. And I spent one luck earlier. I have 20 total luck.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend my 19 luck to get this jump to be a good hit from just a normal hit.
Okay, this is a big one. Bodhi flies through the air and collides with this thing. And all of a sudden, these red eyes, you guys all see these red eyes, and in that collision, everyone's vision fades. The red eyes is all you see, and it's like red eyes dripping like rain on a pane, just dripping through your vision, and you see a gaping pit in the ocean. Not in the ocean that you're around, it's like in the Pacific or the Atlantic, it's like deep ocean right now. You're looking down, and there's this gigantic pit that's opening up. It's very hard to tell the size. There's like nothing to compare it to, but it looks colossal, this giant pit in the ocean. And there's water pouring into this pit. The ocean water is just sort of like being sucked in and falling in, like vapor coming out. And there's something, there's something coming, twisting faintly under the water, enormous fleshy things just under the surface of the water, like worms underneath flesh. And it's thrashing and occasionally breaking over. It's hard to tell if this is like a bunch of like enormous, strange bodies or just like one perversely shaped thing. And it's rising out of this pit under the water, just out of sight, whipping, veined
broken maggots covered in teeth is sort of the texture you might describe it as, and it's ripping through the water in like a kind of violence, moving with a kind of hatred. And then something from the sky starts dropping into the pit. At first, it's just a few drops. It's like dirt clumps, at first, is how you describe it. But it's like your vision gets closer, and the small stream becomes a full spout of these dirt clumps. As you come closer, it's not dirt clumps at all. What you're seeing is this spout that's falling into the pit, falling around this thrashing mass. It's people. Just an unbelievably massive stream of human beings. All kinds, all colors, all creeds. You can start to recognize them. Grandmothers, fathers, kids. All falling, screaming into this pit. Just a spray of humanity. Some you recognize. Violet, you see Laurel and William, your parents. You see Asher, your brother. Scratch, you see your old friends. Danny falling, Connor falling, Bill falling. Bodhi, you see a woman with red hair falling. June. All are falling into this pit. All falling among this creature. And you see now, a great distance from this pit, you can see a submarine rising. This black submarine comes above the water. And the top, it's like a very nice submarine with a large deck. Seven individuals come out of the submarine, and they're standing on the deck right now. And they're looking over to this spread of humanity falling into this pit. And there's a figure in the center, a balding individual, and he's holding the black book. And he closes the book. They all watch the spout for a while, and then they get these seven individuals, who you only really see as silhouettes, get back into the submarine, and the submarine sinks under the water. And you're filled with this feeling that this is real. This is happening, and it will happen. This thing is climbing, thrashing, broken, coming out of this watery pit, consuming all these people falling in. And then, Scratch, Violet, you're on the boat right now. You're looking out, and it's as it was before, but you don't see Bodhi, and you don't see that thing.
There's a haze of smoke from the fireworks, which have stopped, and our ears are ringing from the close-range pops. Bodhi?
God. Oh, did you fucking see that? Did you guys see that?
Yes, I saw it. I saw it too. But where's Bodhi? Did he land? Bodhi.
You run out to the water. You run out to the back of the boat, and it's the water is just, you don't see a disruption or anything. It's just water splashing up against the boat.
Okay. Okay.
How we doing?
Is that the?
It's
the
did you see it,
Jimmy Buffett?
Did you see it?
Now is now a good time for me to describe the sight or the sensations that I feel right now as a creature inside of this as a soul inside of this vessel?
Only if it felt different in the past few seconds.
I would just say I just felt a great commotion, but that's about all.
Did you see our friend get carried away by the creature?
Well, I don't feel him nearby.
Wait.
Bodhi's not here.
What?
He's not, there's nobody splashing in the water.
Violet has rushed to the side and is like staring out into the water.
Inky black water, spray of salt.
Opening the doors to Booger, looking inside Booger. Looking around, can't opening the trunk.
Can't find him.
Opening the hood.
Can't find him.
Going into the cabin.
He's nowhere to be found.
Where the fuck is Bodhi?
I don't know.
Where the fuck is Bodhi?
I don't know.
Bodhi!
That echoes on the water.
Yeah. Who has the book? Who has the black book?
I think because I noticed first, and because I've seen a vision like this before. I haven't lived the hard life that Violet has lived out here. I haven't seen the things Violet has seen or had to do out here, but I have, on some scale, dealt with terrifying cosmic uncertainties like this. So perhaps that's why I, while Violet is still screaming for Bodhi, I choose instead, as an archivist, to go get the black book from the car. And I also take out my binder, my archive, and I set them down with a heavy thud on the hood of Booger, and then open the black book.
You notice that the first thing written down in the black book is for an address in Black Fork. And you remember Bodhi, before he disappeared, was like,
"I have friends in Black Fork, which has a harbor. I don't know, Vi, if you can get us there to the scrapyard at Black Fork."
So he's just gone. He's just gone. He's just is completely gone, vanished. Presumably into the fucking pit. I mean, like, what? There's no other explanation, Scratch. He's not in the water. He's not here.
Well, we didn't see him in the pit. Did you?
No, I didn't.
I saw people I knew and people I didn't know, but...
Yeah, me too.
That creature, did you notice when we first saw its eyes, when it was close enough? It looked kind of sad. I don't know where Bodhi is. I don't know what's going on either. But I don't know if he's necessarily dead. So I think we need to just break it down, go step by step. Keep getting out of here. Bodhi said he had that friend in the junkyard in Black Fork. Let's just keep going forward and we'll try to figure this out, okay? Because that's all I've been trying to do for so long, is figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so sorry, Scratch. I'm really sorry. I feel like this is kind of all my fault.
I don't think...
So yeah, it's okay. And if he's gone, maybe, you know, we can figure out how to put his little soul in a fucking fish.
I would not recommend it. I would like to die. Please.
It's episode four, okay?
I'll hush up.
Yeah, we'll check back in later.
So, the sun is rising right now. You guys, just looking at the navigation system, heading to Black Fork. Violet, let's say you are holding the black book right now, and you're looking at these addresses. Scratch, you're looking over her shoulder at the addresses. Looking back at the island, there's smoke rising. It's like there's a great fire that's being started on that island. Like a big, great, big black smoke, but the sun rises, and it tears over the ocean, and these sort of like bright pink, purple, oranges, an ecstatic beauty surrounded all around you is ocean and forest, and the tragic beauty of all of that which surrounds you. You guys are there looking at this black book, and you're filled with the feeling that there are powers beyond your imagination out there, everywhere. But maybe if you follow these addresses, maybe you can do something about it. Blackout!
Maybe we can become God.
Oh, that would be so cool.
Yeah, if we just follow these addresses, we can become all-powerful.
I've said before, I just would, and Ganon can go in whatever direction he wants, but I sure would love to break the fourth wall, come into our world, kill Ganon, become our own GMs, and reshape the world in our image and desire. And
if this podcast goes as I hope, that is on the menu.
Okay.
We'll be right back.
Where do you think Bodhi went?
I think Bodhi went to the donut store really quick.
Bodhi's at the donut store.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, can I get baker's dozen of chocolate glazed donuts and...
And whatever makes sense.
And whatever makes sense.
He's in hell or somewhere else worse.
I think, here's the thing. I think we're going to get Bodhi back. And when we do, we're also going to get a cool flying teammate.
Yeah. Or maybe, oh yeah, he turned into the thing and he's going to be the guy, the gargoyle man.
Oh, you think there's...
I'm writing all this stuff down.
Yeah, like, this is good. Mike's ideas. Like, this is way better than what I had going.
Yeah. Well, yeah, my guy's just really hurt at the bottom of the ocean right now. He's holding his breath.
Ooh.
It takes 15 minutes for him to drown. Yeah. And then finally he just goes...
Gutter.